Right.
The less I say, the better, because this is something we're just discussing at the moment with Neil and David and Gil Eisenberg. So it's about the BCT gauge. Remember that if one takes an action principle where one extremizes the time free metric, and if one varies that, and for the ADM equations, GAB dot is 2DA beta B minus 12 KAB. One varies that with respect to alpha, one gets this equation. And if one varies the same function alpha with respect to beta, one gets this equation, which has long been known as the minimal strain lapse, the minimal strain shift. If one takes, one can solve this equation for alpha. Plug that in there, and one gets this equation. So call that the DCT equation. And there was this paper back on Calvis that Kip quoted, saying that this equation is okay, in a way I'll explain in a moment, if only one eigenvalue, if at most one eigenvalue of KAB with one index up, one index down, is zero. But we don't believe, and then he says, if that is the case, the equation is strongly elliptic, which is a condition on the principal part. And then he says one has existence in uniqueness. And certainly one does not have existence in uniqueness from that. And so we try to look at least the question of uniqueness in a correct way. So the question is, because the equation is linear, can one have solutions of the equation with Dirichlet boundary conditions that are zero, but the solution itself is not zero in the interior? So obviously, if one had such a solution, one could add it to any other solution, and we'll get a non-unique solution. So let's assume we have a solution of the equations. We call this object here HAD. We have a solution of the divergence of the symmetric tensor HAD. We multiply that with beta, integrate over the interior of our region. The whole thing is zero by assumption. We integrate by parts. That gives a boundary term, which vanishes by the assumption of the Dirichlet boundary conditions. And we get, effectively, dA beta B into HAB. And now it turns out one can write this rather nicely. One can write this as, let's call this object DAB. One can write this as DAB minus HAB DAB. And now one can use, as Goncalves did, a basis in which Kij is diagonal with some vector k that contains the elements of k, and then this becomes this is a non-coordinate basis. Right? This is just an algebraic argument at one point. Diagonal of Dij, denote that by B, but it also has no diagonal elements in that base, and of course only diagonal of K. So this is just B squared plus off diagonal things squared, so they're all positive, minus vector B dotted into vector K divided by vector K squared. And so this is these two terms are positive. Unless the things are parallel, the two vectors are parallel, in which case the thing is zero, and this thing is positive unless the off-diagonal elements all vanish. So this whole thing is positive unless the tensor B is proportional to the tensor K at that point. So this is greater or equal to zero, and zero. Oh, this is just the length of b times, sorry, this is square. Sorry. Is that right? Okay, this is the length of b squared times 1 minus the actual cosine squared. Okay, so this is greater or equal to 0, and it's 0 exactly if the tensor BAB is proportional to the tensor KAB, that alpha. In fact, that turns out to be the same alpha we have defined here. So, HAB equal to 0, this being equal to 0 identically, is the kernel of that elliptic equation with directly bounded conditions. And we think there are probably non-trivial solutions to that, so one probably does not have uniqueness.
I tried, and just I ran into the sand. It doesn't seem to work before. It didn't seem to do anything good for me at all.
I couldn't find years ago.
Yeah. Yes, I couldn't, but I only played for, you know, half an hour, and then it just got so horrible. Yeah, it got so horrible that I walked away from it. So the probability of this, but I would say that the probability of this being solved is too low.
Yes, okay. Start to think a little more about this last condition. That gives me the willies to just think about it.
Yes, hooray.
You have a Hessian of elapsed coming into the equation for K dot, and that's going to be 2 times less differentiable than K itself. I think 2 people spoke up and said they tried this numerically and it was unstable. I don't want to misquote them, but Bern, were you one of the people that tried this?
No, really tried hard. So what you could do is look at the Benson plot, make sure that numerically you know what you have to put forth and that the sum of K has to be involved.
What I said was that people are technically started in an evolution in spherical symmetry with more stable force situations that would be otherwise fit.
So I think I would have written down that you could do it 20 years ago if you could do it. Not that I'm ubiquitous in such questions. I tried very hard.
Well, this seems to be sort of doing too much with the G dots. The generalized, what we call the generalized Smyer gateway, where you pose K dot equal to zero instead of this equation. So that is of course minus GAB dot KAB plus GAB KAB dot. And so that contains a KAB dot. And so it mixes things a little bit in a better way. Intuitively, that's more appealing. Well, no, but we do not assume that trace K is either zero or constant in space. So it allows arbitrary slicings. We just impose that the lead derivative along the time vector is of that whatever it is zero.
Yes,
it's an electric equation, just in more terms.
But that's smooth, it smooths the lattice, whereas this makes the lattice.
Right, exactly. And that's why David and I think this is going to be better behaved numerically. Yes. So we agree with what you just said.
Yeah, but I think, and there's sort of another, well, maybe I shouldn't say this because I just can't hear it, maybe, you know, Carson or somebody said this already, but it seems that sort of the original motivation of Skip's proposal applies to situations where you have an approximate joint field and where you want your evolution vector field to be pretty close to that. And so Carson and I pointed out that you know, basically the same thing as saying if you have an exact joint field, then you want your evolution concerns you. And while it's true that the 6 gauge where it just does that, so does the Smart York gauge, and so does what Carson and I call the generalized Smart York gauge. And that seems to have much medical property. So now I don't see the motivation for 6 gauge, because it seems like the Smart York gauge does the job just as well and with much less money. But
did you remind us what that is?
Sorry, the Smart York gauge is what we call the Smart York gauge, all generalized, is minimal strain for the shift coupled to k dot equal to 0 and k equal to 0. That is maximum slicing.
Right.
And when we say generalized, we drop the k equal to 0, which allows arbitrary initial slices that are not maximum. Those are just lead transported along, remaining non-maximum.
So
it seems to have many of the good properties, especially it captures killing fields of the min-max gauge or the Smart York gauge, but it sort of allows general slices.
I think the first thing that the situation of the ship, another complaint I was making possible, the difficulty is that you have an elliptic equation for the ship that involves second derivatives of the metric, and therefore you don't get the same improvement in smoothness for the solution that you'd like, depending on how you're doing things. I mean, I mentioned it because Lars and I had thought our project was sunk because of that same difficulty. Now, I don't know if that really causes the difficulty. We just couldn't make it work without that extra degree of smoothness in the ship. That doesn't mean somebody else couldn't make it work or that, you know, it doesn't work, but we didn't know how to make it work. So there was something miraculous about the hard gauge permission, which was the harmonic spatial coordinate gauge that caused those second derivatives in the metric to drop out of the ship equation. I don't think that happens.
The BCT equation, given its fuel, is nice in the sense that the step back joins, it's the range is autonomous of the kernel, all these things that you.
What is BCT?
This equation here. Well, the status is we don't know yet. So we may conclude there's 3 points. The first point is there are obviously some numerical difficulties with the BCT gauge that may have something to do with the breakdown of differentiability that Vince pointed out. You know, that you lose two derivatives each time you plug it in. The second point is the Goncalves paper is wrong. And the third point is we do not know yet if we actually get unique solutions. We may or may not be, we were still discussing that. So I think I shouldn't say anything about it. But the Goncalves argument that you do get uniqueness as well.
Yeah. I think maybe BCD borrowed some of their ideas from 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I didn't know what BCD was. Something about this, if you're looking at that, you're able to see and look for the reflection of a shell that's already slightly bent, and then reflect it a little more. It seemed like to me it was almost exactly the same problem. And the left function part of that problem doesn't have a trivial solution related to the shift. And I just, on basis on physical analogy, I couldn't solve it. I said, well, Doug was there, you remember Doug, who was in 78. But doesn't mean that it can't be done. I could.
That system also has a significant engineering failure.
Yeah.
Johnny, you were famous.
Which
Colorado, but you left something.